Are you gay?
Geeky?
Just enjoy hearing your Good Judy's dish about the latest in pop culture?
Well, then you're in luck.
The boys of Flame On are here for you.
In every episode, we discuss the topics that entrance us.
Whether it's comics, TV,
movies,
drag queens,
or video games,
we've got you covered.
So, if you're ready for your gay and geeky slice of pop culture life,
then sit back and get ready to
Flame On!
What's going on, everybody? Pat DeBerry here, and we are back again. It is another month and another roundup. I am being joined by my cast of cohorts. We have got Eric.
Hello.
We have got Brian.
Hello there.
And we've got BJ.
Hi.
What is going on, fellas? It feels like I have not talked to most of you in forever. I think I sat out last month's roundup, and then there was a Doctor Who episode that happened while I was traveling, and I feel like it's just been so, so long.
You missed all of the politics. You missed all of the Who. I mean, you missed everything, honestly.
Missed?
Girl, I was like, a lot of the politics just happened, like, a couple of days ago.
Good God. The pure unbridled chaos of it all. I just, I was at a pool
you
party.
Think you just fell out of a coconut tree.
Nah.
I was at a pool party and I was having a great time. And I was just like, you know what? Let me go check my phone. And then like wildfire, it spread all over the little resort. And I was like,
girl, try being on Long Island in a house with a ton of Trump supporters when the shots rang out at the fucking rally in Pennsylvania, and just somebody runs in, Trump was shot. And I was like,
turns out he had to go regenerate his ear though.
Girl.
Did you
find out that he didn't even get hit with the bullet, that it was a fucking, like, one of the teleprompters or whatever that splintered off and grazed his ear and cut him?
Allegedly. I don't know. I don't know that anyone has definitively said this or that on that. It's like they keep... It's
He has appeared without a bandage on and has a full ear. So...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's such a mess, and I'm glad to hear Long Island is keeping it a little racist. I don't want to say that.
A lot racist.
yeah, he got shot. But Biden and Harris, I think that's more interesting, honestly.
Ooh,
isn't that? Excited about our new brat summer?
Not J.D. Vance. That's not what you're excited about.
I don't want to talk about that couch fucker. literally fucked a couch.
I just watched an OnlyFans video that had that in it.
Oh God! I mean,
J.D. Vance or couch fucking?
Listen, that's not the weirdest thing that's going to happen this election cycle. So,
no,
it's not the weirdest thing that's on BJ's like search history.
Yeah, no. Ooh.
So are we all, I actually had dinner last night with someone who worked for the Harris campaign, like back when she was running in 2020. And I was like, well, what do you think about this? Cause you know, obviously I think he likes her and supports her and he's very excited. And I was like, do you have any concerns? And he's like, honestly, she just needs to get her narrative out, because for the last almost 4 years, she's been like on radio silence and nobody knows anything. So like, we're in this honeymoon period where everyone's very excited that it's not Biden. I get it, but now we're going to switch to the, what does Kamala have? What does she do? What's she do? What has she been doing? So he was very interested to see how they would shape her narrative, her story, like her origin story, like to represent her to what it looks like they're going for is the Gen Z push As I'm sure some of you saw, her branding has been shifted to match the Charlie XCX brat imagery.
Well, that's because of the tweet that was put out. I mean, jump on that shit and run with it.
No, they are. Yeah. Oh, they are. I mean, they are. Please. They are going hardcore push to get like the Gen Z and people who have just not been paying attention as much introduced to her, excited about her. And I mean, God, they raised like a record $67 million in like the 24 hours when they announced Biden was stepping down and she was getting the endorsements. And I mean, yeah, it's exciting. I'm very excited. Yeah,
they are going hardcore, blowing up my phone with text messages about donate. Are you going to vote?
The ads popping up between my Twitter feed, of like porn, Kamala Harris, porn, Kamala Harris, porn. I'm excited for Kamala Harris, porn. And then like a picture of a coconut tree.
Are you getting like push notifications about your OnlyFans follow? Like, why are you getting porn notifications? What are you doing?
Well, no, he's scrolling through Twitter. Porn. Kamala, porn.
Got it.
Every username has a coconut and a tree in it. That's what mine is right now. It's literally like everybody has witty Twitter user handle, coconut, palm tree. Like that's everybody. I will tell you this. My favorite is the, did you just fall out of a coconut tree? Dance into Kesha's blow. These mashups are amazing.
The mashups are nuts.
I saw a video of Kesha and her backup dancers doing that.
Well, I don't think she did it, but I think it came to her attention very quickly. Yeah. And she like reposted it, uses the audio. It's phenomenal. These mashups, they did some with Taylor. Like, oh my God. The look what you made me do, the old Taylor can't come to the phone part. It cut with Kamala doing that speech. And it's like, this is going to be the first election that could be determined by meme culture. And I'm scared and kind of tickled by it.
I'm here for it. It's the natural progression of chaos.
It prevents that orange baboon from getting back into office, I'm all fucking for it. Yeah.
Honestly, I like the energy. They have a solid plan. I'm very interested. I think for the first time ever, I'm gonna actually watch like the Democratic National Convention. Like I usually just wait for TikTok to give me the highlights, but I might actually sit down one evening like a nerd and watch it. So it's like I said, it is what it is. I don't trust polling. Polling is barely accurate at best.
Because who are they polling? Who is getting polled? Old people with landlines.
Not me.
Yeah, exactly. Old people that are out for a leisurely walk because they can retire.
They have landlines. A lot of the phone polling is done via landline, which is not something that essentially our generation and younger do not have. So,
no. Yeah. And I'm on a no call. I'm on a national no call list, so I don't get any. The only call I get once a year is from the police department in Orlando because I donated to them like one time. And now when I don't donate, they actually yell at me over the phone. I was just like, oh, I don't live in Orlando anymore. So I'm donating to my local police. They're like, but you donated last year. And I was like, well, I don't live there anymore. So why would I donate to a place I don't live? And he's like, well, you should. And I'm like, all right, I'm hanging up now. Don't shoot me. And I'm like,
hey, cab buddy, what are you doing? No, it's probably what? Like, you know, is that did you donate because it put you got the sticker and you could put it on your car and be like, look, I donate.
Absolutely. No, 100%.
Nice.
It was 100% for nepotism.
Good job.
It wasn't because I care. It's because I don't want the cops following me.
Listen, give me that PBA card. I need that.
Like, listen, I'll do a little lick on the boot a little bit. Here's $15. Don't pull me. Don't follow me for 10 miles. You can follow me for 2. Don't follow me for 10. I'm just going to Taco Bell and then home. So, but yeah, yeah, accurate. It was during the pandemic, I think. Yeah, is when I donated, and then I stopped. I was the only car on the road. They didn't have a lot of targets. I was where I was still going into work every day, so I had to make sure my ass was covered.
True, true that. Well, we'll see how bratty of a summer Kamala can have going into the DNC and where this will all lead us come November. But yeah, let's get into some pop culture topics that are not the election or JD Vance fucking a sofa. I don't know if that's I feel like that's included but should be separate. Anywho, let's talk about what we're here to talk about. We're gonna do some pop culture topics, and we'll let's go ahead and throw it over. Eric, I'm gonna have you start us off on this fine day. Gasp.
Gasp. A new old video game came out. Sixth expansion pack for Final Fantasy 14, the MMO Final Fantasy, called Dawn Trail, released in early July. And so that's been my life since.
Is that the same as a snail trail?
Kind of, but early in the morning.
I'm done with you. Ready summer. I'm done with you.
And so here's the quick synopsis. In Dawn Trail, players travel to Tyrall, a continent across the sea, to participate in a rite of succession to determine the next leader of Tuliolil. They will serve as champion for Wulklamat, one of the current leader's children. After the climactic events of Endwalker, Dawn Trail was designed as a summer vacation for the player's character. In addition to adding new areas, the expansion pack increased the level cap, debuted two new character classes, and initiated the game's first major graphical overhaul since its relaunch in 2013. So it looks a lot prettier now.
But the important question is, are there still chocobos?
There are still chocobos. Not necessarily in Tyrall, because they ride alpacas there.
Uh-huh. Oh, do they? They're adorable.
Yes. Absolutely not.
Yes.
Not? Can you kill one with a can you kill one with a chocobo? Oh,
yes.
Ooh, okay. Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, damn.
Yeah, because you get your companion chocobo who fights alongside you, and there are wild alpacas out in the world that you can attack and kill if you're a monster.
Yeah. Oh, perfect. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah. See, that's a good case for me to play the game now. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Final Fantasy, you ride a chocobo. That is,
You ride so many other things besides chocobo these days.
Then I mean, they need to die too. You will only ride a chocobo.
Oh my god. I love it.
The machines.
What's the last Final Fantasy you played? Would you play 15?
No, the last one I played, actually I the played
Boy Band? Two, pretty you played much the Boy Band game?
So I've played every non-MMO one since 10.
So did you play 16?
I did. I played 16, which is Devil May Cry Final Fantasy. Yes. And then I played Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There was a 16?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one with sexy Ben Starr as the main character, Clive.
Oh my god, the guy that played Sid, the actor that played Sid in that one, absolutely, my roommates were having to mop me up off the floor, like, I can't. I'm sorry, Sid's vaguely attractive in some of the Final Fantasy games, but yeah. Jesus Christ, he got me in 16. I was like, there's no reason.
He's a hot daddy too, he's great. Mm-hmm. I mean, so Eric, I've just started Dawn Trail. I mainlined the end content for Endwalker, the expansions, in about a day, which was a very long day because that thing never ends.
I imagine so.
Holy God.
Which was basically the entirety of Final Fantasy IV.
Oh my God. God, it was the best. Honestly, probably some of the best, like, bonus, or not bonus, but expansion, like, patch content they've ever done. It's so good. And I got, like, Tuyal. I can never say the city name, whatever.
Tuliolo.
Yeah.
Tuliolo.
Whatever the Lolo song. Anyway.
Yeah.
It's different. I don't hate it.
The music is kind of shocking when you first get there and you're like, that's not what music I was expecting to be in South America.
Smooth jazz. basically the New World is supposed to be the Americas. So I'm assuming at some point you leave the South Americas and you get more to like.
Oh, you do go to Texas.
Yeah, I've seen pictures and I was like, oh, kind of looks like Oklahoma, maybe Texas. Anyway, so I think the music choice is, yeah, a little
and
jarring.
Let me tell you, the voice acting in Shaloni, which is the American Southwest, when you hear the first American voices, you're like, oh my God, this is crazy. Because you've been just dealing with fantasy British voice actors and Arnvill, the Icelandic voice actor.
Is that where he's from?
Yeah, he's Icelandic.
Okay. Arnvill's great. I did not appreciate him. Not just because you don't get a lot of him in the previous in Walker and whatever, but like, yeah, I like him.
He's very involved in this storyline.
Little cute little dark bunny boy. It's great. He's got these great ears and, you know, I'm not attracted to him, but I'm just pointing this out. He's cute. It's cute.
See, this is the part of the movie where you know somebody might be infected with some sort of furry virus and you can stamp it out now, but we're your friends and we're kind, so we won't. But
no,
I just want you to know that I know.
I'll put it this way. Okay. I never have furry identified, even though the bear thing is a weird second cousin to that, to some people. But if I had to pick, an animal, I probably would go bunny boy because, like, friend of the show Matt Baum, you know, I could see that. His fursona is a bunny as well.
You wouldn't go Hrothgar?
No.
Catman?
Maybe if there was a buffer bunny man, like, fine, but like, the bunnies are cute. What are they called? What are the bunny people called? I don't know.
Vieiras.
I can't keep any of this shit straight, and I play this game and I've played it forever.
You heard it here, folks. The 24th of July, 2024. Brian's a furry.
I have not. Nope. I'm just saying, if I had to, you know, if we have to go find alternate identities to keep ourselves safe in the next coming horrible cultural revolution.
If you have to, I love it.
You know, like when we're all running around in our alter ego fursuits just to keep our identities anonymous.
This post-apocalyptic social, like, culture war where Brian has to become a furry.
Someone to write this. Oh, my God. I need fanfic. Please do this for me.
I'm writing it. We're going to write this.
So what did you think of the expansion? What did you – you finished it. You got through all the content. Now, what are your impressions?
So far, I'm liking – the more relaxed feel of at least the first half of the storyline, especially compared to Endwalker, where we fought the personification of existential dread. And it was just nice to be on a little adventure and go around with the power of friendship and become the Pokemon Master by collecting all the gym badges and with our pirate crew and become the Hokage, basically.
And you have to get the One Piece.
Exactly. with the power of friendship. And then after the turn in the second half of the game, because there's always a twist in the later half. It does get a little bit darker. It doesn't get anywhere near as dark as the previous expansions because it's a new story they're telling. And it doesn't have to be completely world-ending. Just a little bit of world-ending. And there's a lot of Final Fantasy IX references, which is fantastic. Let's see here. The new raid is great. It's basically an anime tournament arc, which is nice and low stakes compared to something like Omega trying to take over the universe or anything like that when it's come to raid series. So that's very nice. I'm excited for the Alliance raid, which will start with the next patch, because it's going to be Final Fantasy XI related, and XI is a game I've never played. I think you did for like a brief period of time, didn't you, Brian?
Oh, I did, and I did not love it. It's the other MMO. It's fine. It's okay. Yeah. They did a expansion previously, or they did a seasonal with 11, I think, before.
Yeah, they just did a seasonal quest.
I'm interested to see at some point when they can start playing with anything more recent. And the other one that no one ever seems to want to touch is, well, 7 to some extent, but 8. I would love to see them figure out a way to bring in Final Fantasy 8 stuff at some point. That would make my day.
I mean, they did bring Eden in, which is a little 80, but
But that's it. I mean, just the slightest bit, but it's fine. I mean, so I don't expect that they're going to do what they did with Endwalker in content to mimic Final Fantasy IV, which we could talk about for hours, and I would love it, love it, love it. That is such a great game.
Zero was such a cool character.
Zero was an amazing character, and I had no idea they were going to do the Cecil switch for her. I keep wanting to say them because they definitely coded her a little gender fluidish, androgynous, whatever. But no, that whole arc was just so satisfying. And considering some of the Endwalker stuff I love and some of it I was kind of bored with, and they started with the stuff I was bored with, from that was kind of the direction it was going, and then they shunted off into the 13th. It's just good stuff. Do you see where this expansion sets them up for the future, or does it kind of bring everything to kind of a point where you're like, huh, okay, now what?
I mean, it's kind of self-contained. I mean, at the end of Endwalker, Emmett kind of listed kind of all the places we're going to go in the future. So how the new world as it is will tie into any of the other places we go yet to be determined.
Okay.
But so I think
they didn't establish like a new Ashian level thing that we have to deal with or anything.
No.
Okay. No. That's good. I mean, and even if they use the Ashians, because I think there's still a couple running around, and there's still all the shards and there's all this other stuff that you could do. Which is what's amazing about this universe is there's just so many directions and so many areas you could spend time, and like I thought the 13th would be its own expansion altogether potentially, and then they just did it as a couple trials and dungeons, but there's just so many cool things in that world. I'm excited to get back to playing Dawn Trail again. I did that initial like run around the city, make sure you sync with the Aether crystals so you can zoom around. I mean, it was,
here's the market. Yeah. Here is the inn.
Very tutorial level thing. The only thing I will bitch about is the fact that at the last expansion, before you even get to Dawn Trail, there is like a prequel prologue Dawn Trail quest series that I was like not expecting at 11 o'clock on a Friday evening as I'm sitting there with my sprained ankle up elevated. And I'm like getting tired of sitting there with this freaking oven on my lap of my laptop where I'm playing Final Fantasy and just thinking, oh, I'm going to get there any second now, I'm going to be done and get there the credits and then I can stop. And then, oh my God, I got this thing I got to do now. But I actually did enjoy the boss battle with the giant parrot that keeps mocking you throughout the battle. It was cute. It was good. Well, I'm excited to play it. I'm glad you finished it. Of course you did. I'm glad it's out. And I did see at our local Japanese market a bunch of Dawn Trail merch. I actually was surprised in our Japanese bookstore. They had a bunch of stuff.
They're also doing a promotion right now with Gongcha, which is a boba tea place, which apparently at one point there was one in Orlando, but it's closed now. So I'd have to go to Tampa if I wanted to do it.
Who wants to go to Tampa?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think I'm going to try to find one in Japan when I'm out there. Because surprisingly, they're not in Seattle, but they're in many places in Japan. So I'm like, all right, well. Because, yeah, you get like a mount or some content.
Yeah, you have to buy three drinks all on the same receipt. And then you get a mount.
That's pretty cool. I also didn't, no one told me there was a third edition of the Encyclopedia Eorzea. I had been like waiting on this third edition, like thinking, oh, they're never going to do it, whatever. And then I see it in the bookstore and I'm like, are you kidding me? What the fuck? So I'm very happy. I've been spending too much money on Final Fantasy lately. So,
but before we move on, Eric, I just need you to, what do you get to ride in this, this version of Final Fantasy? I just love how you say that. It's fantastic.
Alpacas?
Alpaca.
Weird alpacas.
God. When they fall over, they make an accordion sound.
Well, there you go. Final Fantasy XIV has a new download expansion pack to it. This is the game that will just never go away. It's been like 14 years and it's just still going strong. Didn't they blow up the world and then have to come back from that to start like all of the expansions originally? Was that this version of it or was that a different? No. I tried to erase that from my memory, but apparently
that was this
I
one. Didn't
remember that still. Who fucking knew? All right. Brian, let's start over to you. What do you got for us on this month's edition?
So a few weeks ago, I went to our local sort of gay, it's not gay exclusively, but they have a lot of queer cinema content, Northwest Film Forum in downtown Seattle. And I saw a movie that is getting a limited release from A24. It is called I Saw the TV Glow. And it is a horror film of a fashion. I would not call it a horror film in the more ridiculous, campy, bloody, gory sort of version. But in certain small ways, there is some gore and there is some kind of, not camp, but kind of. But it's serious.
I heard somebody kind of describe it as like an emotional horror film.
Yes, it is very much an emotional, like kind of trauma-y tone poem by a relatively new filmmaker named Jane Schoenbrunn. Can't say their name very well, but hopefully that's close. And has a fairly cast of unknowns you may not have ever heard of or seen. But one of the actors you may recognize, if you realize it, is Fred Durst plays a very important role in this film, and I would only have known it was him after reading the credits and finding out that he was involved.
I was gonna say, is the only way that you recognize him was because he was naked and jerking off on a couch?
God, no. Oh man. Oh my God, what is up with these couch people?
To break stuff.
Did he like it my way?
And just keep rolling, rolling, rolling.
Oh my God.
Oh, man. I can't.
I think I've suppressed all my love for the nookie. Just knowledge. Remember that. Not that there was ever very much. This is good though.
That's awesome.
I just paid an only nookie. Yeah. So the idea of this film is that it's a two friends who find each other. One's a very awkward young black child and the other one is a boy, and then the other one's very out lesbian, little older, but all in high school, middle school kind of era, and they bond over this TV show called the Pink Opaque, which kind of gives Are You Afraid of the Dark vibes. It's kind of like that with a little bit more of a Doctor Who-y chintzy effects, you know, monster of the week-ish kind of thing. And it's this, you know, cult show. It's only on at 10:30 at night on such and such a channel. And so the boy can't watch it. So they end up going to their friend's house. They basically lie about going to their friend's house to then sneak over and watch it with their other friend. And I'm trying to remember and find their actual character names, because that'd be easier. Owen is the black boy. And then Maddie, of course,
who's played by Justice Smith.
Is that Will Smith kid?
Justice Smith was in the most recent Dungeons and Dragons movie as the sorcerer, and he was in Detective Pikachu. Like, he's been in tons of major films.
Okay, I've never seen
one of the Jurassic World movies.
Yeah, I've never seen him. I've seen them before.
He's been in a ton of like pop culture stuff. So
great actor, tremendous performance in this film specifically. So, you know, they grow up and they keep this kind of connection about this show, but life separates them. Things are just, you know, they kind of jump throughout this person, Owen's life. And, it becomes kind of weird and unclear how much of like that story was shown. So it's a little unreliable narrator, and there's flashes when they do finally reunite after a while, that make you think that there might have been more to the story. And then the Maddie character disappears under mysterious circumstances after basically asking Owen to run away with her, not to be like romantically involved. They're not. It's very much just a friendship, but basically like struggling with their queer identities in this small town. And Owen doesn't seem to sort of say that they're queer. Like, there isn't much of a discussion about that. If anything, Owen's kind of portrayed as a bit of an ace character, but there's a story reason for that. Basically, Maddie becomes convinced that they are actually the two characters in the Pink Opaque who got like killed and buried and then had their souls sucked into this trap dimension that is it real life that they're actually living in. And so, you know, years later, Maddie's like, if the only way we can fix this is we got to go back to the Pink Opaque, and the only way we can do this is to bury ourselves alive. And so it's a really tense situation and this is right after they leave a gay bar, where they have this kind of like crazy kind of ground shifting discussion about what they remember about their journey. So you kind of get, you get through all of this, you figure you sort of start to question what's real. And there's certainly other things in the film that make you really question, okay, is this the reality or is this not? But it's left very ambiguous. The ending is very challenging, because the character Owen just makes a different choice than you might expect in this kind of movie. And there's moments that imply, and it's kind of implied, but it's also a little explicit, that basically Owen is trans and this is their trans journey. They're just their gender journey, because there's things that happen towards the end where they are just struggling to like have the reality that they want. And even though they're seemingly happy and telling the audience, you know, where they're at and what they're doing and how they've moved on with their life and they have kids, they have a family and they da 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 da, you never see any of that. You just see this, you know, Owen's perspective as being this kind of sad and unrealized person. And then during like a child's birthday party where they're working, they like completely have a meltdown and like rip their chest open, and just the pink, like static, like from a television set, that glow just emanates out. So, I mean, you know, the director didn't play it too coy when they were talking about it. They also are transgender, and they were like, oh no, this is totally all metaphor for being someone who's trans and struggling to fit in society that doesn't accept you and sees your gender journey as a burden. So, it's a really tough, it's not tough to watch. I shouldn't say tough, but it's the emotional horror of it all is very strong at the end, especially. So I liked it overall. Very, very, unique take, unique film take from Schoenbrunn. But I don't know. I'm interested in seeing what other people think about it. I don't even know where you'd find it right now. It's probably going to be on streaming at some point, but I've just largely given up on streaming these days. And I just started buying DVDs and Blu-rays again, because like a show that you watch or some movie that you watch disappears off one service and then you can't find it. And you're like, what the, anyway. So if it does pop out like in a theater or wherever, I would just catch it while you can, support the art directly. If you can do that too, by buying a copy. And, yeah, I definitely have, I want to reach out to Kat. I want to reach out to a few of my trans friends and really see what they think about this film, because they're probably going to get a different sort of resonance. But it was powerful. It was definitely a very great movie to see during Pride Month. And, yeah, I hope everyone gets a chance to see it at some point. That's,
yeah. A24 doesn't miss with the, with like stuff with their more like almost their more artistic type films. It's on my list of stuff to watch next time I'm actually deployed somewhere.
Oh yeah. I think it would be a good film to watch, like, on a plane ride or on a, when you're kind of stuck. It's, you know, you can definitely, you know, zoom, you want to stay involved in it. I wouldn't like watch it in the background, but like, it's, yeah, you should definitely catch it when you can. I saw the TV glow just cause there's the pink opaque, and that's what a lot of people think, you know, oh, it's the pink opaque. I saw the TV glow is the actual name of the film. So yeah, you should check it out. Four out of five.
Very nice. You keep saying pink rating for opaque this. And I keep thinking you're saying pinko tape.
The pink opaque.
And I'm like, I don't understand this. But okay. Pinko tape. Got it. Very good. Very good. yeah. Right. I don't think anybody else has. BJ, obviously, you haven't seen it. I haven't seen it. Eric. Okay. So I want to make sure there was no other. Anybody else wanted to add on? Listeners, if you have seen it or you are going to watch it, comment, let Brian know what you thought about it. Tell us, we would like to hear your feedback and your opinion. A lot of times we have things that we see, watch, read, listen to, that we're the only ones on the show at the time that we're recording that have seen it or have taken in that media. And it's always great when we find other people who have seen and watched and enjoyed the same thing, or maybe have a differing opinion, and we, you know, can get into a conversation and discussion about what it did for us, you know, what the messaging was or how it resonated with us. So if you've seen it, let us know. We'd love to hear about it. Before we move on to our next topic, we just want to thank you, dear listeners, for listening to Flame On, supporting us, being here through this long journey. We're on what, like 12 years at this point? Some craziness like that. I don't know. I've stopped keeping track because I've been along for this ride for most of it, and it makes me feel old every time we talk about it. But we definitely want to thank you for being a part of this journey, whether you have just found us and just started listening, or if you have been with us for the long haul. And we definitely have some long time listeners out there. So thank you all. You can check us out online at flameonshow.com. It's where you can find our merch shop or how you can reach out to us. We're on social media. We'd love to hear from you. And yeah, just keep on doing what you're doing by listening, telling your friends. And if you would like to, leave a rating and a review. It always helps. And one more time, that website is flameonshow.com. All right, I'm going to go next. I have a smaller topic before we move on to BJ to close out our topics of the month. It's so bad because I'm so bad with remembering what I've watched or read or done. And honestly, lately, a lot of it's been catching up on stuff. I paid for a year of Marvel Unlimited, because now that I can't piggyback off of Brian's comic book collection anymore, I wanted to try to catch up. And I was going to San Francisco back in May. And I was like, let me just do this special. Let me buy a year's worth of Marvel Unlimited. I did read. I have caught up on some of the Krakoa storylines. And I think I'm currently in. I haven't gotten to it since I was reading back at the end of May. But I'm in the AXE storyline, Avengers, Eternals, X-Men, the whole, like, we're judging you and all that shit. But anyway, that's not what it is. So, like, honestly, like, I'm trying to catch up on things. I tend to forget what I'm doing. I forget where I'm at most of the time. Honestly, the old man syndrome has really kicked in. But I get to these points and I'm like, what am I going to talk about? What have I watched? And I'm like, shit, I don't know. I've watched some wrestling recaps. I've watched gamers on YouTube play Super Mario Odyssey hide and seek. Like, how am I going to talk about that? Honestly, that's most of my day. My roommate is like, how do you watch this stuff? And I'm like, that's just what it's background noise. It makes me calm. I don't know. No.
Yeah, I spend so much time watching Twitch, just watching people stream. And it's
I have a friend that streams every day at 4 now, and I'm like, perfect. And literally the moment I get home and I'm settled, I just turn it on and I'm like cooking dinner and he's streaming. But I also have gotten – I'm completely addicted to like gaming reaction videos to some of my favorite games, especially like long-ass games like Persona 5. So I'm like – super addicted to that right now. So it's really hard. It's I have to carve out time to where I'm not watching reaction.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like I would say, like, I don't know if I know how to YouTube right, because if you look at my like YouTube homepage, it is like CJ, Grand Pooh Bear, like all of this like group of content creators that are gamers, and they do like the Super Mario hide and seek, the online multiplayer hide and seek. Quinn Bobin, I watch, you know, he does a lot of like Zelda content. It's like 125 Breath of the Wild videos. That's probably about 60 or 70 Tears of the Kingdom. Tears of the Kingdom videos. It does all of this stuff. So that's most of what my intake is in when I'm not working. So I have to sit there and go, What can I talk about that's not Drag Race? Because I'm not exactly in love with the Drag Race franchise right now. Like, All Stars 9 just needs to fucking end, because I'm done. I'm done. This is the point where Luke gets so upset with me, because he's like, you had such a great reaction to 16, and now you're just falling out of it. Plus, we have All Stars 9 coming to an end, but Canada versus the World already started. And then we have Global All Stars starting in a couple of weeks. I'm like, I'm tired. I want there to be quality over quantity again, and it just feels like it's being pumped out at such a rate that it does not feel fun right now. I've stopped watching the international franchises. I want to go back and watch Philippines 2 and Spain 3 and Spain All-Stars, but none of the other franchises. I'm like, I can't with another France season. I can't with another... you know, Belgium or Sweden or any, like, I'm glad that these countries have their version, but it's too much for me right now. We're on a hiatus from like my other competition shows. Like, we don't have a Survivor season going on right now. I did make Chris, my roommate, watch what I consider to be arguably the 4 best seasons of Drag Race recently. Eric, would you like to chime in on what you think those 4 seasons are? I'm curious if you are on the same wavelength.
Oh, they're probably mostly earlier ones. So
that's my top.
I mean,
that's my
top
one.
Yes, pick 6.
Okay. Yep.
All Stars 2. Let's see here.
You don't. Yeah, I was gonna say you don't have to stray far from that.
5.
Yep, and then we watched All Stars 3
4.
Also, but
4,
and
5,
I'm
6.
Wearing
and All-Stars
my, I'm wearing 2. my De La whiteout shirt, and literally as I came home, I changed, I put it on, and we go to walk the dogs, and he's like, "I understand that shirt now." I said, "Yes, you do." I'm going home. But anyway, so that's a lot of what that's a peek behind the curtain, dear listeners, of what my life is. It's a lot of sleeping, YouTube videos, and Drag Race, even old Drag Race. But one of the things that is a constant, and there's another part of this that I want to ask about, because it was your one up 2 months ago, I think, Eric. So we're going to come back to that. But music is a huge factor. I listen to music more often than not when I'm showering, when I am in a mood and need to calm down, or pick myself up. You should hear the sad music I play when I need to lift my spirits. But with that being said, somebody that I am a big fan of, someone who whose writing is immortalized on my arm in tattoo ink, and who has had a very tumultuous past decade or so, has
Katy Perry.
It's a woman's world. Have you seen that video of the drag queen? And it's like, when you get into a car accident and this song comes on, it's like, and the beginning of Woman's World starts, and she comes back to life just to change. I'm going to have to send it in the group chat. BJ, I'm going to need you to post it on the social media. Have you seen it, BJ?
I absolutely will. Yes, I've seen multiple versions of it, but for some reason that one is absolutely hilarious.
No matter how many times I watch
that
it,
one gets me every time.
I go back to it and watch it again just so I can laugh. It's like this drag queen honestly looks like Raggedy Ann. Like the drag is it's hysterical. But anywho, but no, not Katy Perry, because fuck that song. But Kesha has put out a new single, her first song as a free woman, as an independent artist, as the person who she wants to be with her own voice and her own name. And it came out on the 4th of July this year. The song is called Joyride, and it is 2.5 minutes of chaos. What was it described as? Cunty accordions. an orchestra. Kesha singing, I don't know. It's a whole lot of stuff at one time. I will say this. One, it harkens back to when Rainbow, when she released Praying. And I thought she did it on 4th of July, and she didn't. I think it was July 6th, but it was 4th of July weekend when Praying came out, which was very much symbolic of finally being able to put music out again, finally being able to record without Dr. Luke's direct involvement. It was still under his Kemosabe label. It was still connected to him. He was still part of it. You know, he owned the music, but she was able to finally record new music without him being directly involved in making it. So when she finally got through all of the trials with all of the lawsuits, all of that, the albums, she put out Gag Order as the final album on her contract with Dr. Luke. So for her to have her freedom back and be able to put out her first single as an independent artist on Independence Day, it felt poetic. It felt right. It felt correct. And I will say this. I was not in love with the song when I first heard it. I'm not somebody that's going to sit here and go, I love every single song that an artist that I really like puts out. It's just not how it works. But I will say that this song has fucking grown on me. And the reach, the support, and I was going to stream it. I was like, I'll put volume down to like volume 5% and just let it go and repeat to help with the streams. Like, I will do that. I'm going to support. But it has really grown on me. And to see Jinx Monsoon even just posted a video, I think, about Portland Pride, and had Joyride as the song attached to it. The support on social media that it's getting is so refreshing to see. It's so great. It's kind of like this whole like Kamala Harris meme support with when Biden dropped out of the race, like how much the internet has collectively, or a large chunk of the internet has collectively decided, we're going to fucking support this person. So it has made me so happy. If it's a 2.5 minute song with probably about a minute worth of lyrics, if I could tell you that I knew all of the lyrics, I would be lying, which is crazy. And what's even better is that when she finally released it as like an EP single, like pack, there's an instrumental version. And just to hear the large gaps of silence, because that's where the cunty accordion is normally playing, It's like, wow. I need a little more lyrics, a little more lyrically involved in here. But it is just such a fun song. It is. It's grown on me. I'm excited. I'm going to see her on Wednesday, a week from tonight. We're recording it on Wednesday, recording this on Wednesday night. Next Wednesday, she's doing an official Lollapalooza after party or after show concert. Lollapalooza doesn't start until Thursday, but oddly enough, she has an after show the day before the concert. So I'm going to go see her at House of Blues. So this will be the first time I get to see her as an independent artist. I'm sure Joyride will get played. I know she's been kind of playing some other new music when she's been at some of these like pop-ups or these venues that she's performed at. She did WeHo Pride. I think she may have done like, I think she premiered a new song or two. So she's working on new music and I'm excited about this. I'm curious to see what the rest of an album will sound like. And I'm hoping that it's fun, but maybe not all of it sounding like Joyride. Like I'll be happy if like we get a little bit of that, but then some of the other Kesha that we know. Brian's been shaking his head about a lot of this. What are y'all's thoughts on Joyride? Let's start there, and then I want to tangent off about music for something else after we do that.
I watched a video, and yes. I guess it was just like a it's meme not. Compilation no, but she video, which I thought it, I was believe. Maybe the official. Is that the official one? Okay, so somebody's made it. Okay, because I was like, why? Why is this all mean? Anyway, yeah, it's weird. It's a little surreal. I mean, and, you know, that's not always a bad thing with me. I actually kind of appreciate the novelty. No, I mean, it harkens back to her music like a while ago, like back when I first was introduced to her, probably by you. And yeah, I don't know. It's something. I think I completely agree with you. I would love to see her new album have maybe a few more of these kind of songs, but then like other stuff, because that would be a choice. Yeah. That would be a vibe as they say.
Yeah,
these days.
For real.
Like that's, if it's all this, oof.
Yeah. That meme yeah. video.
So, that I think
meme,
that's where I'm at too.
I just love the fact that there are so many like Drag Race clips that are in there. Tina Burner turning Rosé around and her seeing her makeup. Princess Poppy as like Green Goblin at the Emmys. Yeah, it's interesting. Eric, what's your thoughts on Joyride?
Well, I hadn't heard it, so I just tabbed out to go YouTube it, and I listened to the first half of the song, and it's a song. I mean, it's interesting that she went for kind of spoken word in the beginning before she gets to the chorus. And
cunty accordion, please.
Yeah, accordion.
It will forever be the cunty accordion. BJ, what are your thoughts?
So here's the thing. What was that song? There was that song with Kim Petras that all of y'all Unholy? Hated. It was Kim Petras and I think Sam Smith. Unholy, and everybody was like this. Y'all were like, this song is terrible. And I was like, oh no, it's pretty good. I feel like y'all like it. I feel like this song feels like a little bit, because that one felt kind of, that one was a choice. Joyride is, I'm trying to think, Joyride is chaos in a way that I enjoy musically. It is utter and complete chaos, but for some reason, I don't know why.
Because it's clumsy accordion.
When the accordion kicks in, I'm like, and I don't, like, here, I listen to Weird yeah. Al. Like, I listen to the Weird Al has the accordion mega mixes.
And yeah, he just put out a new one.
He just put out a new one. Yeah. So like I love it. I it's definitely it's on my clubbing playlist. So when I'm headed out to the bar. So it's definitely I get it, but I couldn't tell you why it resonates so well other than I'm my own chaos goblin. So like it's a chaos goblin song.
I'm sure she's going to on her album put it in between a couple songs to make it sound better in context.
That's just, new album just starts with cunty accordions. And are you a man? Because I'm a bitch. And that's just how, that's how the album starts. And that's, and we'll love her for it. TBH.
I say I'm a bitch.
Calm down, Anitra.
But all men are dogs.
Oh, that's right. Her sister, Mirage. Her mom's sister.
Anitra's her mom.
That's right. That was Mirage. Wrong season. Yeah. I get all these later teens seasons mixed up. My favorite is the label whore, but I'm bored of wearing clothes. You want kids? Well, I am mother. Like, if her album is not just called Mother, I will be surprised. The pre-sale code for the Lollapalooza, Lollapalooza, oh my god, too much Drag Race. Lollapalooza after show was I Am Mother, or Kesha is Mother, something like that. If this album is not called Mother, I will be supremely shocked. But this is the piece that I wanted to talk about kind of tangentially from it. I don't know, and I may have brought this up before, but I wanted to bring this up and ask my fellow Flame On peeps what your thought is about the TikTokification of music. Because I fucking hate it. This 2 to 3 minute, or being focused on going viral on TikTok, where you're sacrificing actual, like, lyrics and storytelling to have a memeable viral, like, 20 second clip, or the, you know, and this is what, like, music has come to. Fletcher's most recent album, most of the songs are like 2.5 minutes, 3 minutes long. Joyride is 2.5 minutes long, and I'm like, girl, you're a phenomenal songwriter, you've written amazing hits for yourself and others, can you give me something a little bit more? Like, even if it's the same chaos, give me 3.5 minutes. Dua Lipa's album, Radical Optimism, was like a 26-minute album. But you know what she just released? The extended version, where everything is like 5 fucking minutes long. But why wasn't this the original album? Give me a radio edit that's 2.5 minutes if you want to cut some shit out. But I don't get this 2.5-minute song structure anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think
like songs don't have third verses anymore.
They're maybe a bridge.
Two verses, a bridge. And then the chorus, and that's it.
Yeah, maybe. I think you nailed it, though. This is the new radio edit. This is TikTok is, or whatever, Reels, or whatever YouTube's doing, shorts. This is the new radio edit, because attention spans are small. People like bite-sized content. They want to use it as riffs for their own things. I mean, that's cool. I do appreciate the thing. The thing about, like, TikTok as far as, like, music promotion right now, I mean, they're taking their cut, to be sure. But, like, it is how Chapel Roan, it is how a lot of these younger artists are getting so – they're blowing up so fast. It's not through radio. It's through people latching on TikTok and then pushing their stuff through their own videos. So, I mean, I don't hate that, but yeah, I don't love the short songs.
But I mean, Chapel Roan isn't writing 2.5 minute songs. All the songs on her albums are at least 3 to 4 minute long songs. Okay,
so, but I mean, they may start there in all the cases and then cut it down. So, like, what we're hearing is just this one version of this one thing, but I mean, other artists, like you said, are doing it too. So,
but I mean, that's just that you have to look at how music is done here in the U.S., where it's like the record labels pretty much own your soul. So it's one of those things where if you get signed with a record label and you write out an album and it's got like normal length songs of like 3 minutes, 3.5 minutes, or something like that, you submit that to the record label, and the record label's like, no, you have to cut it. So you have to look at, you have to look at the artist individually. Like, if they're self-promoting and they just want to do a cute 2-minute song, then that's 100% kind of like their own decision. But when you look at record labels and everything, 90% of the time, the record label, there's like, it floors me that like Prince had an entire album of unreleased, like albums of unreleased music. Michael Jackson had a whole bunch of songs of unreleased music. And you think about what ends up on the cutting floor. So when you have independent artists and they can release kind of what they want, like Beyonce can release whatever the hell she wants because she self-produces now. So you've got to look at, is the artist an independent artist? Are they doing it because they know they're seeing the writing on the walls where attention spans are shorter? Or is the record label being like, no, your songs on for your album, especially if they're a newer artist, they're like, your songs need to be TikTok, like close to TikTok length and not like a full song. Like until you go platinum and make us a bunch of money,
I don't see that being
the
case.
Because the length of your songs,
I just think that that's where like, where the songwriters are focusing. Because when you have something like Chapel Roan, like, or you get these other ones where or Gaga's Bloody Mary, like these sped up versions, I hate those too, by the way. But that's just that's a different tangent.
But they make such great RuPaul Drag Race lip sync songs.
Dance. But like taking a piece of it, like taking a piece of the song, like the Cruel Summer bridge, like that got so much TikTok usage. And Cruel Summer is a 4-minute song. Like you can take a 30-second piece of a regular length song and make it, you know, and it can take off as being viral on TikTok. I'm not a music person for the music. I'm a music person for the lyrics. And when you go to 2.5-minute songs, you lose out on so much storytelling in the music. And I think that's where I'm just like, I wish. But then on the flip side of it, and I'm not going to speak to Beyonce, I know that Kelbert Carter is a longer length album, but this, I wanted to come back to this because I can speak to it because I've listened to it a shitload of times. And I know Eric bought it and it was his one up 2 months ago. Tortured Poets Department. Now that being a double album with the anthology that dropped, that album, it's 1 hour and 45 minutes long. Yes, there is a 2.5, 2 minute, 40 second song there called I Look in People's Windows. But that even still tells a story because she packed that 2.5 or 2 minutes and 40 seconds with lyrics. She's like, here's this story. I'm going to tell you this story right now. But there's so much in the art of what's being written that I miss. And that's what I want. But Eric, what did you think? What have you thought about Tortured Poets? Because I know that you bought it and then you were like, I got this. And we haven't talked about it since. And that'll be the end of my talk on music.
Oh, Eric! I still haven't listened to it. Sorry, I had a very sapphic summer so far, so it's all been Renee Rapp.
Can you throw some Fletcher Chapel in there if you're going to do that?
Chapel's going to be my... I guess I could try Fletcher. And I should get some Muna because I liked a couple songs of theirs.
Oh.
No, wait, Muna is three lesbians. They're a band.
Because Muna did open for Taylor on the Eras Tour at one point. I saw somebody else. Oh, Girl in Red. I was like, I know I saw another lesbian. I think she's another lesbian artist because it was during June. It was Owen and Girl in Red open for Taylor last June during Pride Month. She kept it on theme for her opening acts for that. But if you're gonna go lesbian, I need you to include some Fletcher, and I need you to include some Hayley Kiyoko. I need you to dial back to Provincetown 2018 and the amount of times I played "Curious" by Hayley Kiyoko, and bring that back around for summer 2024. On the tail end of it. But anyway, that's music. I wanted to talk about Kesha I'll report back on how this concert is as the first one since she gained her freedom. And yeah, and we'll eventually get Eric to listen to Tortured Poets, and I'll find out what his favorite song is once that happens. All right, BJ, why don't you round us out with your topic? What have you got for us?
So I watched a little Star Wars series that came out that has kind of set the fan base ablaze, if you will, called The Acolyte. And The Acolyte is the first series that actually starts at the High Republic, I believe. Yeah, starts at the High Republic, which I believe is 100. It's about 100-ish years before Clone Wars. And it pretty much starts off with a Jedi being murdered by a mysterious assailant, and the Jedi Master, Master Sol, who's played by Yi Zhangyi, is put on the case. The show has a pretty interesting roster. It's got Carrie Ann Moss is in like an episode or two. Trinity, for those of y'all that don't remember all the Matrix series. And then it's got Manny Jacinto, who played John Yu / Jason on The Good Place. So he's in it. There's Amanda Sternberg, who was actually in Spider-Verse as Spider-Bite. She was in just a couple of smaller movies. I believe she popped up in she was the girl that played Rue in the first Game of Thrones movie.
Not Game of Thrones.
Hunger Games. Hunger Games. I don't know why I said Game of Thrones. In the Hunger Games movie. It's a games movie. She's also in Bodies, 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 which is really funny if you haven't seen it. So she plays the two main characters, Osha and Mei and Asaya. And the whole thing kind of centers around the death of their coven, because they belonged to a Force coven, not a Night Sister, not the Night Sisters, but specifically a offshoot of the Force coven, of a Force coven, which is very interesting in the way they portray them. There's a whole mystery surrounding with what happened to the coven. Osha tried to become a Jedi and left the order. And then Mei has kind of gone on a completely different path. Have any of y'all watched it?
Yeah, we talked about it briefly. I think I talked about what the first couple episodes when they had come out.
Yeah.
I love it. I get so frustrated with fan reaction because...
Oh, to Star Wars fans are the most toxic fan. Like, they literally got what they wanted. Season gave long-term fans what they wanted. It's just not in the way that they wanted because there's a lot of brown women doing powerful things.
Couple reasons why people don't like it. One, people think it's revisionist and they think it's all woke and all this other bullshit things that I throw at it because they... they kind of are calling the Jedi into question as like, you know, this order that has existed for thousands of years and is the police force and sort of the, you know, priests and whatever of the universe. Like this show definitely in a kind of a Rashomon sort of, you know, what is the truth behind the story that we're retelling and what actually happened, you know, from a different point of view. They think that's revisionist. They think that's like just breaking down all these long understood and believed ideas that certain people may think is, sacrosanct and is reality. And anyway, so I at least know and can say, okay, that's your bullshit. That's your problem. I think other people don't like the fact that it's glorifying. I think I read this somewhere. Someone's like, it's glorifying the Sith. Like, kidding me? First of all, we don't even really know that they're Sith because they don't really say, you know, I think the main stranger until they reveal who he is, which is a Khmer, John Yu character, like worst kept secret ever, like almost the fact that they're twins, like at first you're like, well wait, they're the same person, oh they're twins, duh. So that's whatever. But like, they're like, oh, it's glorifying like the dark side. It's like, no, it's explaining why and what the dark side is in a way that has not really been done this well. Because you know hate makes you stronger and fear and but it really is about emotion, and the Sith believe in using emotion as a part of your powers, and
unchained,
letting the, expressing, like not holding it in, and the Jedi are very much holding it in. I also like the fact that, you know, with the Rashomon sort of storytelling, you do get to see the Jedi fuck up pretty bad. They make a not great situation a lot worse, and that ultimately is sort of the undoing of the characters in that situation that caused.
Yeah. And that cast got whittled down quick. Yeah. Like the thing that I love, that I liked a ton about the show, is it shows one, how a similar practice, because essentially the coven, while their ways were different from the Jedi, and I love how, my thing is, I wish the flashbacks were almost all together, except for like the last part of the flashback with what actually happened to the coven. But I wish they had just kind of put that as a two-parter. But I love the fact that you kind of go in with this bias in your head that Master Sol truly cares about Osha. And the thing is, and this is something that has always rubbed me the fucking wrong way about the Jedi, even in the Clone Wars and everything, is their fucking obsession with getting younger children, specifically getting children at an age they're super impressionable. And I'm like, that feels gross and a little weird. And every time they've kind of brought in
grooming them.
Yeah, it's just something that's felt gross. And the thing that this show does is it shows every Jedi is pretty much, especially a master, is given a Padawan to train. They're effectively given a friend because they can't lose control of their emotions. They're always in control of their emotions. But what happens if one of those emotions is fucking loneliness? What happens when you're a Jedi Master and you don't have one, or you're never given one? You get fucking lonely. And it's against the fucking rules to be like, hey, I'm feeling lonely. Like, it's, and that's what I love, is Sol is fucking lonely as shit, and you don't really get to see how that fucks up his judgment till the last two episodes. But it fucks with your judgment, and that brings it full circle. So you see like other masters that have taken on Padawans have a very like Anakin was very militaristic with Ahsoka. Like that was he was training her to be a warrior, not a like calm, prim, nice, happy Jedi.
Well, because it was in the middle of the Clone War.
Exactly.
The circumstances set that. I don't know that I agree with the way you're depicting Sol, but I think that's the point of the show. I think Sol's journey and the motivations are left ambiguous enough that you can sort of make your own determination of what you believe.
Came off super lonely to me. And he was excited and like he genuinely wanted to help, but you can see where one, you've got a bunch of women making babies from the Force in the woods, which already puts the Jedi's hackles up, because at that point in the High Republic, they're very controlling with how the right way to do things.
No, but I mean, the point is you, this is all valid, but it's not what I saw. So the fact that this filmmaker who, if you can't fit together name, they're actually lesbian and they did the Russian Doll with Natasha Lyonne. I gotta look it up. But like, you know, she's crafted this story that is, it's very like superficial to some extent. It's very Star Wars. Lots of amazing martial art, great epic lightsaber battles. I mean, some spaceship battles, not a whole lot, but enough. It's in there. and very cool Jedi shit, but like also this very modern story that you can kind of read your own stuff into and bring your own stuff to. I mean, I saw Soul as this person who absolutely was empathetic and cared about these twins and wanted to save them both from what he perceived was this terrible situation. But again, it's perception. The reality was, like, other than May or Osha rather wanting to be a Jedi, the coven was just trying to just do their coven thing. Like they were just leaving people alone. And, you know, spoilers, we're also spoiling stuff, right? You know, the head of the coven gets killed by Soul because she turns into like a force mist and to do something. And then because he thinks she's going to strike, and she probably was or wasn't. I don't know. Again, this is why it's all very murky. And she said
she was going to release Osha.
Yeah.
She was going to give her what she wanted.
Right. She's dying. So, I mean, point is war. And this is so, I really wish everyone could understand this lesson. Having worked in and near the warfare industry now for my entire adult life, like war is so messy and horrible and like last resort. So any of these little, you know, I mean, you see it with the police now, like any need for violence should be so carefully weighed against the messy, messy outcomes that are going to come of it. And that's what happened here. They could have just said, you know what? Sure, there's this weird vergence in the Force, whatever, cool stuff. We're going to leave this because we have our Star Trek, Prime Directive. We don't want to fuck with these people because it's not our problem.
Right?
But no.
That's what you need a Prime Directive.
Right.
And that's what I love about Carrie Ann Moss's character is she was like, she's like, we can test them. We can like say hi to them. But we're going. She's like, we're gonna leave them be because we don't understand their culture. And I love, but what was funny is kind of part of the coven's downfall itself was because she put that thought in the one Padawan's head. And his emotions got all out of whack. So part of it's actually kind of a failure of, you notice you kind of, they put the failure of each system front and center. So it's like the coven being on edge kind of failed the girls. The Jedi, the two Jedi, Soul and the other Padawan being on edge or being fearful and fearing for the girls also kind of led them to fail them. And then now the only thing technically they have left is what's his name?
The Khmer, the Sith.
Yeah. That's the last, but I feel, but here's the thing. We had a little pop-up of a little visitor that's apparently on the same training grounds, just chilling out in the shadows. And I think they did announce who that was.
Oh yeah.
Now you're going to have
Darth Plagueis.
It's Darth Plagueis, but now you're going to have three. But at this point, the rule of two is solid. It is solid and in place. So how is this going to fit? Like it's my thing is a story like this can't really have a happy ending.
Oh no, it's a tragedy. Star Wars is always got like tragedy built into it in one form or another. And so in that way, this is absolutely a tragedy in slow motion. I mean, the sisters reunite briefly and then there's tragedy in that they have to separate and one doesn't remember the other. There's going to be tragedy if they do a part two with the journey that she's on with Khmer and all that. I mean, it's reverse of the hero's journey. Like this is kind of an inverse of here. Well, and maybe it's a hero's journey, like as a whole arc, if they do the whole series, like they want.
Yeah.
I will say this. I love, love, love seeing a Star Wars story that's not set in any of the time periods that we've seen before. I would love, and I think the director, the filmmaker, showrunner said she wants to make not a High Republic show. She wants to do an Old Republic show, which for those of us who read comics, played Old Republic games, whatever, There is just so much cool stuff you could do.
That's Leslie Headland is the name of the creator.
Yeah, she's good. No shit. No, I mean, and you can watch this. I have good friends that did not like it for various other reasons, not because of the other stuff. So, I mean, if it doesn't work for you, that's fine. There's other Star Wars that I'm sure scratches your itch. But from kind of like Andor, like the fact that they made this show, that they got to make this show that is Star Wars-y, but it's not the same thing we've seen over and over again. But yet it calls out to the stuff that you know. It even got a fucking Yoda, you know, show up at the very end, we think. It's cool. It's cool. I'm glad it exists. I'm glad they made it. I want more of it. I'm sad that Master Soul doesn't show back up. Hey, but we're gonna get him in Squid Game 2 very soon. That actor. So I'm very excited for that too.
Yeah, I'm very excited to see kind of hopefully they get renewed. The other thing about it that really kind of spoke to me is just the only issue I had the show with, the pacing was off, and that's why I would have rather have had a two-parter of the flashback, just omitting the end of it to save that for the finale. So other than that, I loved it. I had a blast. I love that they're doing this is a very Japanese thing, or I don't know which culture this originates from, the idea of twins. In some cultures, are viewed as having been the same as actually being one person just split apart. And it was something they did really well in Jujutsu Kaisen with Maki and her sister, where Maki has she has something called a heavenly restriction, where she has zero cursed energy. She can't do cursed techniques. She can't even see curses without special glasses. But her physicality is like beyond deadly. She is beyond fast, beyond strong. And her sister, while her sister has an amazing curse technique, she has a weak body. So a lot of the times, like if she uses guns imbued with cursed energy, and she can make bullets, like she can materialize bullets using cursed energy, but it takes a lot physically out of her. So they're actually viewed as like, If they were born as one person, they would be like a complete person. But as they're twins, they're separate. They're half of what they should be. So they've kind of got that whole idea with technically Ocean May were a single person that were split. So it's very interesting, and I would love to see how that plays out, and if there's a way for them to converge, or how does that dictate how their powers function. So I would love to see it. I love the dyad stuff with Star Wars. They touched on it a little bit with Kylo Ren and Ben and Rey, where they were a dyad. They were like similar but different. And I wish they had kept her lineage the same as it was, because that would make their dyad make even more sense, where she doesn't have a lineage and he has lineage, but they're different. They're connected in a way. So it's interesting. I really hope they do a season two.
There you go.
So
it's the Acolytes and the thirsting over Manny Jacinto is hysterical, especially for those people who watch The Good Place. But All right, dear listeners, again, we thank you for listening, being a part of this Flame On journey. Check us out online, flameonshow.com, and keep telling your friends about us. All right, let's do a quick round of one-ups. Brian, throwing it to you first.
So I feel like I had not talked enough about the show, The Vampire. What's it called? Vampire Chronicles? No,
The Vampire Diaries.
The Vampire. Sorry, wrong one. Not that one.
Interview with a True Blood.
Oh, geez. Well, it's funny. The more I watch the Interview with the Vampire, like I see where True Blood. You know, not like I didn't already kind of see this the through lines, but anyway. The second season just ended. They announced the third season. We're going to see Lestat and his journey after the events of the depicted in interview. And I really went back and watched the movie. I actually went back and watched Aaliyah and Children of the Damned. And oof.
Okay.
She's good. She's not the problem.
I was like, put some respect on Aaliyah's name.
Aaliyah? Sorry. I don't know. Aaliyah. So anyway, point is, this show is about as good of a version of Interview with the Vampire as you're ever going to get. It is delightfully queer. It is just like oozing all the queerness. And honestly, it's more about their relationships than it is about like the vampire crap. Because I've never been a fan of vampires. It's like, fine, it's great, it's whatever. But this show actually makes me enjoy vampires. So if you haven't watched it, 2 seasons are out. Great 2 seasons. And you could also just stop at that point because it does give a nice ending. But it's probably just one of the most interesting and like mature and complicated and just epic queer love story romance, you know, that I've seen in forever. So Interview with the Vampire, go watch it on streaming. I think it's coming into Netflix or somewhere, Hulu. I don't know. It's coming to another streamer if you can't, if you don't have Prime and whatever show thing, AMC that it was on. There was another thing and I completely forgot, but, it's going to make me sad.
Well, if you remember the other thing before we sign off, the
Vampire, it's great.
Can add it on at that point. BJ, what is your one up?
So I know I've talked about all of these series multiple times on the podcast, but Hell of a Boss is one of them. It is one of the creations of Visvi Pop and her Spindle Horse Studios. She did Has Been Hotel, which was a big hit on Amazon Prime. And the pilot is still up online for free. Season 2 of Hell of a Boss is on YouTube. And season 2 started July 30th, 2022. And it has a very irregular release schedule. But they recently dropped a trailer for their last like 5 or 6 episodes in season 2. And they dropped 2 of them. One dropped in May, and that was The Full Moon. And then the second one was Apology Tour last month. Their next 3 episodes will be at the end of the year. Ghost Fuckers will be coming out October. It'll be a Halloween themed episode, but these last 2 episodes, Full Moon and Apology Tour, were absolutely stinking phenomenal. Some of the best music, some of the best independent animation I've ever seen. Apology Tour had a song called All to You, subtitled Motherfucker. And I actually posted that on our Facebook page today. So if you haven't watched any of Hell of a Boss, it's all for free to watch on YouTube, seasons 1 and 2. It is honestly some of the best queer story writing. All to You made me feel some things. It's kind of a rock ballad meant for wasting your time on somebody that possibly will never get to where you want them to be. And letting them go because they're a motherfucker. Hell of a Boss season 2. Please, please watch it. Give it some love. I would love, I think she has it slated for 4 seasons total. Give it some love. And they are also having a summer sale. If you go to their YouTube page, Visvi Pop. If you go to her YouTube page, there should be a advertisement for their summer sale, which they use to finance the Hell of a Boss show, because it was not picked up by Amazon. So she still self-produces that show.
I'm amazed that you said, I my brain had to wrap around the fact that you said the season 2 started on July 30th. And I was like, it's only the 24th. And then you said 2022. And I said, God damn, this is how Steven Universe was on for like 6 years and only has like 2.5 seasons. Like this is what happens with these. But anywho, that's good. At least I'm happy that you're getting more of these shows that you enjoy. And listeners, if you're out there watching along, let BJ know. Chat about it. Posts on socials. All right. Eric, what you got for us as a one-up?
So, kind of name-dropped her during your segment, but Chapel Roan's album, The Rise and Fall of a Midwest Princess, has been on repeat in my ears over and over and over again. And talking about stretching things out, while this album was released in September of last year, it was recorded between 2018 and 2023, with the lead single Pink Pony Club coming out in 2020. Yeah, that's when it was released. So, love it. Everybody by now should probably know the hot to go hand signs from all the ticky tockies.
I don't, I'm sorry. But I know that we should HOTOGO to the polls.
That's fine.
They've done that. They've already used that. I'm just saying. It's the Pokemon Go to the polls of the 2024 election cycle.
Yeah. Her upbeat songs are big and are what getting all of the attention, but I really like some of her ballads, in particular Coffee, which is on there, as well as kind of the mid-tempo Casual. Even though all of her lyrics are lean towards the lesbianism of it all.
They dive headfirst into the vagina. They are so lesbian.
They're pretty,
which I'm all for. I told you, I am man. I'm there.
Yeah, that's yes. But it's funny that I can still relate to the feelings that she's singing about in those songs. Yeah,
yeah.
All I can say is, going to Pride in Seattle, all we heard everywhere was them, the people, mostly girls, singing those songs. And I mean, I like her. I actually think she's a really amazingly talented musician, and I'm so glad she's out there queering up pop music. But oh my God, that iconoclastic part of me that just rejects whatever everybody else likes was fully in force. And then last weekend, she played Seattle's block party downtown when we were down there running around for something else, for a wedding. And oh my God, it was just more of that. And then they did the songs at the wedding, and I'm just like, and you can't get Pink Pony Club out of my head when it starts. Like, right, just saying the words. It's all it did. And now it's in my head rent free. But it's good. It is good. I really, 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 really respect
it's and, quality yeah, music. So much. I mean, she's putting out. And I really like her new song that she's been doing the talk show circuits with, Good Luck Babe. It's good, and I'm excited for when her next album comes out in 3 years, probably.
Was it? No,
I kid. I kid.
6 years. She's going to record it over 3 years, and then eventually
independently
release the first single, and then I'm okay on her.
Yeah.
I one of my friends, Matthew, was like, you need to listen to this, like, months ago, before it really started to blow up, or kind of like as it was starting to. And I didn't listen. I was like, okay, like I'm aware of it. And then it just blew up out of nowhere. And I was like, I was at work one day, and I was like, you know what? Let me just, and it's what I need to do with Beyonce's Renaissance and Cowboy Carter, is like, I just need to say fuck it and just put it on and listen to it. There were a couple of songs that did catch my attention off of the album. Like, I did like Casual, and there's one, there's one about New York, Naked in Manhattan. Yeah. Like, there was a couple that I was like, okay, these are better. Like, these are the ones that are getting my attention. I do like Good Luck Babe. I do. Like, I think that is probably my favorite of kind of the more popular songs. But no, I'm glad that it's doing well for her, and you know, she's got a unhealthy fascination with Sasha Colby, as most queer people should. And I think it might have been at Portland or Seattle where they actually got the perform together, which was It was Seattle. Yeah.
Oh, it's Seattle. She Seattle. So Colby is dating one of the owners of some of the bigger queer bars here. And she shows up at random bars all the time. Now she's becoming the new Macklemore of Seattle. She just pops up everywhere.
She's the carrot top of Seattle.
I'm missing carrot top of the Verdun.
Yes, exactly. Love that.
That's fun though. Very nice. So Chaperone. Chapelle Rouen. All right. Couple of quick things that I wanted to bring up. I know I had mentioned that I was going to see Jurassic Drag in San Francisco back at the end of May. It was fun. I saw the first of the two nights that they did. And I just found out recently they are taking that show on the road. So if Jurassic Drag comes to a town near you, I highly suggest seeing it. I also got to return after, for the first time in 5 years, went back to Provincetown for a whopping 24 hours. Which, when you take a plane to a boat to or a plane to a bus to a boat to walking down Commercial Street to then 24 hours later get on a boat to another boat to a bus to a plane, it's a lot of traveling, different traveling methods for 24 hours. But I was super excited because my friend Paul Middleton, who I got to come to the States in 2016. And perform at Bear Bust, and then I took him to New York to perform at Rock Bar, was performing at Red Room in P-Town. So I made it work that I could go to New York, see Jinx Monsoon in Chicago, her final night of her second run as Matron Mama Morton, which was fantastic, by the way. I got to go see Paul in Provincetown. I did not, unfortunately, get to see any of the Golden, or not Golden Gals, but... Ginger, Minj, and Gidget Galore shows. The Ginger had some family stuff come up, so I didn't get to see Gidget. Divine Grace had some stuff come up, and she was supposed to be coming up to do her one woman B. Arthur show. That has now been postponed. And Varla Jean Merman was not performing. It was one of her two nights off during the week. But Varla is doing the Errors Tour, which with a very heavy Taylor Swift aesthetic, including the purple cupcake dress that she has on for the Enchanted set. The white, this is how up to date Varla was on these outfits. She actually has a modified version of the white Tortured Poets Department dress for the second leg of the Eras tour, and the Reputation bodysuit that after 120 shows has not changed once. And when it does, we know something is in the works. But I also was able to get my Dick Bach friendship bracelet, Errors Tour friendship bracelet, because Varla is helping raise money for CASAS, the no-kill animal shelter in Provincetown, by selling Errors Tour friendship bracelets a la a Taylor Swift concert. That all is phenomenal. Go out, support local drag, support the artists that are out there and putting on shows and concerts. I got to hang out with Matt Albert for a little bit. He was performing the day after I left, so I was sad I didn't get to see him. But again, and I actually may at least get one of those CDs that we bought, Eric, because I busted his chops like 7 years later that we never got that jazz CD that we paid for. But hey. Love that man to death. So maybe I'll get one in the mail. I'll share it with you. It'll be the Sisterhood of the Traveling Jazz CD. But one other thing that I wanted to mention, and it's something that we haven't talked about. We got the first trailer for Agatha All Along with a Halloween spooky season premiere. The show's going to go through. Oh, yeah. And so I think the finale is like Halloween week. It's like a 9-episode series with 2 episodes premiering in late September. I am so fucking excited. They're downplaying that is actually Wiccan that what's his name is playing in the show. So we'll see if that actually. Yeah, well, you know.
But upplayed his gayness.
Fucking amazing. I love it. I'm super stoked to see how this goes. I mean, you've got Aubrey Plaza, you've got Catherine Hahn, you've got Patti LuPone. Like, how can you not love this? So I'm excited for that. Agatha All Along coming to Disney Plus late September. Yeah, I'm excited. I'm actually kind of excited to see Deadpool this weekend. I'm going to have to figure out going probably really late because I don't want to deal with crowds or that big of a crowd. But we'll have to talk about that once we've all had a chance to see it, because supposedly it's like an 8 on a scale of 10 on how it's going to impact the MCU, according to Kevin Feige, where he was like, if Infinity War was a 9 and Endgame was a 10 on the impact, Deadpool and Wolverine is an 8. And we'll usher in what he is calling, was it the Mutant Saga? That's going to be the focus. I think it's the Mutant Saga, kind of like the Infinity Saga.
The Mutant Era.
That'll be the focus after Secret Wars. This weekend, on Saturday at Hall H, we're going to get the new names for Avengers 5 and 6. So, lots to be excited about for that part of it. So, that's it. I'll do one quick callback to Brian. Did you remember what you wanted to bring up? Yeah, old man syndrome happens. That's me all the time.
Old man memory.
Right. I figured it out before we sign off. All right. Well, boys, I appreciate you sharing your pop culture with me and with our listeners. And dear listeners, thank you for being with us, listening. And we will see y'all in just a couple weeks with our next episode. Bye.
Bye.